Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You know how important well-being and wellness and taking care of yourself are equally important as practicing veterinary medicine. And joining us today is a wonderful colleague that we're so proud she's in this profession. Dr. Amelia Knight Pinkston is with us. How are you, Amelia?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be connecting with you today.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. And I really do mean this. The profession is that much brighter with you in it too. So we're so glad that you're with us. So to our listeners, a little bit about Amelia. She's happily breaking the norm as a health coach and veterinarian. She's a graduate from Wheaton College in Massachusetts and then UPenn School of Veterinary Medicine. Got to give a shout out and plug to UPenn. Woohoo! And the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. She's also a certified in veterinary medical acupuncture through CuraCore. She has worked in small animal general practice and urgent care, and now does relief work through IndiVets in order to balance both careers. She lives in North Carolina with her husband and two adorable dogs, by the way, Woodford and Jameson. So you gotta make sure you take a look at the picture that goes along with this podcast because Jameson's so adorable. In her free time, she loves to stay active, experiment in the kitchen, spend time outdoors, connecting with family and friends, and travel, and most recently, to the Maldives. Did I say that right?
Maldives.
Why did I say Maldives? So tell us about that experience of being in the Maldives.
Oh, it is pretty much truly paradise there. It is one of the most beautiful places. We were extremely fortunate. My husband travels a lot for work. So we were able to stay at like one of those overwater villas and it was magical. And so I'm grateful for doing relief work because that allowed me to feel zero guilt for taking off almost 2 weeks of vacation time. And it was such an easy transition coming back.
I love this too. I love that you were able to do that. And it must have been life-changing for you. It's incredible. So as a veterinarian, you experienced and recovered from burnout. She's passionate about breaking the norm and sparking real change in order to improve the well-being of the veterinary community. And I think that's just wonderful to the listeners to understand. I know that you're going to be offering some veterinary workplace well-being consulting for veterinary hospitals. So tell me a little bit more about the, you know, why we need to be, you know, quote, breaking that norm when it comes to well-being.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am all about breaking the norm because if we look around right now, like the norm isn't really working for us. Like within the veterinary profession, you know, we are really overwhelmed and stressed and we're burnt out. And just as a society in general, you know, unfortunately, the norm is to be like sick, overweight, and we're unhappy. And so we really need to be recognizing that we can't keep doing what's normal, expecting a different result or to be feeling better. And we really need to pause and be asking what are the root causes that's getting us into this place of feeling overwhelmed and burnt out. And I think really the norm that we're living in is a society that's just go, go, go. We're never pausing. This like no pain, no gain kind of mindset. And we are just stressed out. And yet none of us are pausing to like listen to our bodies or even giving our bodies a chance to deal with that stress. And I like to compare it to having like a high energy dog, like think about like a border collie, how they need to be walked regularly, right? And we, you know, if we're busy, maybe your dog's asking to go for a walk and you're like, you know, just go lie down. And so you think that they're going into like another room and they're just taking a nap when in reality, maybe they're just like destroying the room because they want your attention and that energy has to go somewhere. And that stress does the same thing. So if we're not making time to deal with that and process it, stress is getting creative in the way it's going to make us start paying attention. And that shows up in really weird ways of, you know, influencing our gut health or feeling exhausted, headaches, and eventually burnout. You need to be breaking the norm. And I think the one good thing that COVID has done, I think it certainly highlighted how stressed we all are, but it has also shown how great we are at reinventing the wheel and reimagining things when we're forced to. And so my hope is that we as a profession can recognize that we do need to be doing things differently and that we can start reprioritizing.
Yeah, reprioritizing is so important too. And I enjoy that you talk about, you know, these yo-yo diets too, that we as veterinary professionals do, because let's call it what it is. We don't have the time sometimes, like, or we're in between appointments and I'm shoving like a Smucker's Uncrustable, you know, down, and just because either, and we stress eat, we emotionally eat. I'm sure you, and you talk about all this too. And I also appreciate the fact that you talk about like people pleasing can, and perfectionism are really, can be a real burnout problem too, right?
So much. Yeah. And really those are kind of the stress response showing up in certain ways, you know, like that people pleasing is really like this stress response of us thinking like, if I put like my own desires and needs aside in order to appease like this perceived threat, then I'll be safe. And I think that that's a huge issue, you know, in our profession. And that's really resulting in a lack of boundaries and you know, so many areas, just resulting in that exhaustion.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can tell you from first and foremost, I've experienced everything that you just talked about too. I think our listeners do as well. I mean, it's part of being this profession, but there's solutions that are out there too. There's something that we talked about beforehand that I was reading that really resonated with me that I didn't think of it now. And I'd really be interested to see your take on this. And it's talking about mission statements. And, you know, how are most mission statements hurting the well-being of hospitals?
Yeah. So if you think about most mission statements, I feel like they all have the same underlying message, you know, that we want to provide high quality medicine and that we really care. And that's great. You know, I think, but that's expected. You know, we all, who goes into that profession not wanting to practice good medicine and to care. And so that's really not setting us apart. You know, clients are just expecting that that's something that we do. And what I think that that ends up doing is that focus on us being so caring ends up being detrimental, because that is where, you know, we have that tendency of people pleasing. And that's where we really see our boundaries or our lack of boundaries of like that client who just expects that they can, you know, call and demands to be seen even when you're maybe completely full that day, or calls and expects to call, be able to speak with a doctor like right away. And, you know, we need to be really reprioritizing and instead thinking about like, how can we be supporting our staff so that they are energized and can show up to be doing what they naturally want to be doing, which is to be caring. Because that's, you know, it's that people pleasing is really wearing us down, and we need to be getting resilience. And that really focuses on, you know, finding the ways that we're going to be feeling energized to support our bodies.
Yeah, we need to find other ways to be energized for our body too. I agree. And what helped you to recover from burnout as a veterinarian?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, the first thing was just becoming aware that I was burnt out, because I really was kind of living in denial. You know, I knew that the profession was stressful and I just thought that that was kind of normal, but it was a turning point when I was sitting in an office with a functional medicine nurse practitioner. And I was there because even though I was eating healthy and I was working out regularly, I was exhausted. And I was dealing with this like weird brain fog in the afternoons of like, I couldn't really focus, felt kind of spacey. I was having GI signs. I was just like constantly stressed. And you know, I had visited with doctors, my blood work looked great. And they were like, you look so healthy, but I didn't feel good. And the nurse practitioner just asked me this simple question of like, are you happy as a veterinarian? And like, all of a sudden, I almost burst into tears. And I had no idea that that emotion, like that I had even been burying those emotions at all. And like in that moment, I did just kind of like suppress it. And I just like spilled out like this automatic response of like, yeah, sure. Like it's stressful, but you know, I love, you know, working with my clients and the pets. But afterwards, I really recognized that how much I was ignoring my body and my mind. And that at least woke me up to the fact that I was burnt out. And after that, I was really starting to recognize how much my thoughts and limiting beliefs were getting in the way. So I was feeling like I was still just stuck in my career and, you know, coming up with these reasons, like I had massive student loans and, you know, since I was six, I had wanted to be a veterinarian and everybody knew me as this vet and they thought that I loved it and were proud of me. I just didn't see a way out. And finally, I just let myself think like, what if that wasn't a problem and what would I do? And that allowed me and just opened up this door of starting to really listen to my body and mind, but also pursuing this health coaching. And in that process of not feeling stuck and tied down to veterinary medicine and learning how to energize myself, you know, I thought I wanted to like flee from the profession, but now I am in a place where I'm so happy and I have the energy to want to be fighting for my profession so that others aren't having to feel this way.
I'm glad you didn't flee.
Thank you. Yeah.
It really is a wonderful profession. And there's so many different varieties to, you know, career options within vet med, which is so nice too. So I applaud you for recognizing that, you know, that where you were, because sometimes it can be easy to keep going and going and realizing, oh no, you know, so bravo to you for doing that. I want to change gears a little bit. I want you to talk to me, and I want these listeners to understand, you did this incredible study. You sent out two well-being surveys, one to veterinary students and the other to veterinarians. So tell us a little bit about those key takeaways.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do this on a much bigger scale, but I did kind of randomly interviewed 40 veterinarians and 34 veterinary students. And I think one of the major things was that I'm not alone in having experienced this burnout. You know, 60% or 62% of vets said that at some point they have wanted to leave the profession. And one in four said that they currently did. And when I didn't account for practice owners, it was 40%. So that's really eye-opening, I think. And
that's a high number. That's a pretty high number. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would love to do that on a, you know, bigger scale to see. But I think, you know, even if it was like one in 10, I think we need to be paying attention to that. And one big thing when I was speaking with the veterinary students, you know, 82% felt like their veterinary school wasn't supporting their well-being. And they were really saying that they felt like vet school had negatively impacted their mental health, their physical health, their nutrition, their stress, their sleep. I mean, all of these things are so important for brain health and for learning. And it's really, you know, showing a great opportunity where we maybe aren't doing our veterinary students a good service. And I think a lot of it comes down to that norm of having it be an excuse of how, you know, intense of a curriculum it is. And that's just like part of the process that you have to go through. But I think we need to be recognizing that in vet school, you know, veterinary students are really learning to be sacrificing their needs, both, you know, their this huge financial investment, but also they're being taught that if they want to be successful, they're going to be having to sacrifice listening to their bodies. And I think we really could be reimagining how vet school can be prioritizing supporting them.
You know, it's unfortunate that you hear that number being so high. And Yeah, I mean, I look at it as an opportunity for growth and for change to happen, you know, and action items to be there. And I agree, it doesn't have to be this way, Amelia. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. I feel like it's like almost like a boot camp. It feels like for all of you, and I mean, all of us and listeners too. You probably realize when I was in vet school, it was tough. I'm not gonna lie, too, it was tough. But does it have to be that way? You're already getting in is half the battle, and then staying in is like the other part too. But you got to take care of like your sleep and your nutrition and family. I mean, you don't get a second chance at this thing called life. And so you want your journey to be a good one, and to set the bar when you come out of vet school. You want it to be like, I'm ready. Let's do this. I have my enthusiasm, my passion. I'm ready to get a great mentor. You don't want it to be like, I'm scared. Like, I don't think I got this anymore, you know? So yeah, it's really good thought provoking things there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one huge thing was almost every veterinary student had so many ideas. You know, they have a lot to say, and I think they maybe don't feel like they're being given that opportunity. And so that's a great way just to be really making sure that vet schools are having those conversations and talking about, you know, how can everybody work together to be restructuring so that, you know, you're not just like in lectures from 9 to 5 with maybe like a 5-minute pee break. Like, maybe could you have like a few more minutes to like step outside or walk or just process a little bit of all the information we're trying to pack in.
Mindful meditation and all those great things that you could do, you know, but I think it's getting there from what I see, you know, just from chatting to the veterinary schools around the country here, at least here in the United States. It sounds like they do recognize it, and they are making some change, which is good. So, okay, so I want to close by asking you this one question that I think is a really good action item to the listener. So for individuals in hospitals that want to improve well-being but aren't too sure how, where should they start?
Yeah, so in general, you know, and you brought this up earlier, I think right now the norm around health and messages is that being healthy is exhausting. You know, we think about like forcing yourself to the gym or having more discipline and willpower in order to turn to that maybe not less desirable but more healthy food. And health really should be energizing. And so for individuals, I really recommend just starting to pay attention to what are the things that are giving you energy and what are the things that are draining it. You know, what are the foods that are giving you great sustainable energy throughout the day that you enjoy, you know, or is it connecting with family or spending time outside, and really creating boundaries around those things. And I do have a number of blog posts on IndieVet talking about like how to be finding the things that energize you or are grounding for you. And I do also have like a free 7-day troubleshoot guide that really helps to guide you looking at your health in a whole new way that feels more doable. And then for hospitals and just as a whole, I just would love to see us all unite in just having like a zero tolerance for bullies. You know, these toxic clients, I see some practices, you know, really accommodating these demanding clients or those who are really being disrespectful to staff. And I think that that's sending such the wrong message to the team, and the long-term impact can be so detrimental. So that's number one that I would recommend, if not already doing that. But then just as a hospital, really going back to that mission statement and focusing on how you can be supporting your team. And again, energizing them so that they can continue to show up, to be caring and not have that, you know, reach that compassion fatigue. And you brought up the little Lunchables. So I would love to just end on an example of how hospitals can be really using food in a powerful way, because I think, you know, a lot of the times food is the way that hospitals reward their staff, which I'm all about that. But I think we're maybe using the wrong food. So if you think about like what the normal breakfast is to bring in, it's either like donuts or bagels, right? And yet that's really like setting everybody up for like a sugar high and then like an energy crash before lunch. Or for lunch, the norm is kind of pizza, right? And how often afterwards do you hear the comments like, I ate too much, or I'm so full, or oh, like, I just want a nap. Yeah. And yet there are foods that everybody is still going to really love that can give you great energy, can really fuel your brain, and can help to increase productivity. So everybody's like going into that second shift, that like afternoon, feeling really energized and good in their body. And so, you know, just looking at little tweaks like that, that you can be making in the hospital, really like working together as a team, can make such a big difference.
And those are great examples too, and very easy things to implement. And if I was an employer, how could I not want to make sure that my employees are productive, you know, and not like crashing and wanting to hold up the walls or whatnot, you know? So
exactly. Yeah. And I feel like it's a great way to get everybody involved, of like, that can be a fun way of like, oh, what lunches do you think would be like feel great or energizing? And even having people like rating, like, ooh, did you feel energized? Did you like this meal? And like having everybody come together and kind of nourishing their bodies and minds in a fun way.
I love that. And the words that are over your shoulder, I just, I'm love looking at. These are really great. So to our listeners, share a little bit about what those words mean to you.
Sure. Yeah. I've created like this big bulletin board in my office. And I just have all of these words that are kind of values that are really important to me. And initially I thought I would also have like all these beautiful images. And right now I don't. They're just big words, but they really inspire me and keep me grounded. I'm very big on just thinking of the values that are most important, so that anytime I maybe am feeling like challenged, I return to those things.
So you have words like connect, adventure, exhale, grow, well-being. I mean, these are just really strong words to live by. So I love that.
Yeah. Those are the big ones. Connection and authenticity, adventure.
Dr. Amelia Knight Pinkston. So where can we find out more information to our listeners that want to be interested in either maybe taking your courses or just connecting with you?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'm very active on Instagram. I'm Life Boost with Amelia there. And I just started my own podcast as well. That's Life Boost with Amelia. And then I have a website where you can get all of my information. It's www.lifeboost.today. And then I also write for the Indie Vets blog. And Indie Vets definitely has just like changed my life and made me so grateful in the way that I'm able to balance everything. And they're doing such a great job with their mission statement of really supporting, you know, believing that happy, healthy vets make better vets. So,
yeah, they really are too. So shout out to Indie Vets too as well. So thank you for all that you do. And I'm sure they're very honored to have you with their team as well, Amelia.
Thank you. Yeah. Grateful to be there.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and thank you for all the wonderful things that you're doing for this amazing and glorious profession. This is fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome. And oh, I just wanted you to know I'm wearing my dachshund earrings in support of your little guys. So
wait, do you have dachshunds that I don't know about? Like,
no, I don't, but I have little dachshund earrings and I like to wear them for my patients.
Wearing little lowrider earrings. I love them so much. Oh, thank you so much. I got to tell the weens when I see them later on today then. So thank you so much, Amelia, for being on.
Yeah, happy to be there. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the Vet Blast podcast, available where you're listening to all your major outlets for iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, the list goes on. And have a great week, everyone. Please take care of those wonderful fur babies out there and stay possum. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.